You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday. I think the guys are here.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I tried to start a poll today for Mail It In Friday, and if I went by the results...
Personal day. You got chirped, though. There were a couple people like...
Oh, they said, you know, you never even, like, you mail it in every day, you're a loser.
I didn't see those.
There
was a couple saying, like, why didn't you let Noodles and Hayes take a personal day?
I did see that one.
See that one?
Yeah, I saw that. Chelsea, I believe, is her name.
Yeah, from a girl that wrote in and said...
A kind soul.
Yeah,
a kind soul. Very smart lady. Well, yeah, well, yesterday when we threw that out, like, we didn't really do the whole anonymous
op-ed thing. Oh, so when you go on a bachelor party thing or you go to Edmonton for a speaking engagement, that's not a personal day? Same thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I'm working.
And not here. Not for us.
I don't have an explanation. I go away, yeah. If I'm going on a bachelor party, you know exactly what I'm doing.
That's a personal day.
That's fine.
Yeah, but it's like once a year. It's not.
Yeah,
once
you have
every
a side gig, though. You have a side gig. It's not for TSN. It's for some other company.
But it's not like.
What side gig?
It's not
gig?
Once a week. Yeah, I don't know what this
side gig. What are the side gigs?
Oh, he's got speaking engagements, like meetings in Edmonton.
Meetings. I'm going to get drunk with my buddies. That's a meeting. Meeting somewhere.
You know what is actually. This is why I love our audience, because a lot of people have been listening to us for a long time. And when I threw that out yesterday, asking people what would be in the anonymous op-ed, someone mentioned Noodles, like, side gig business or something like that. Because you're invested in different companies.
Yes.
And you've
I'm
spoken
still
about
a personal
them.
Day if he's not here.
I'm invested in a group.
I'm invested in other
California.
Things, too.
Yes, yeah, sleeping on the couch and not coming in.
No.
Do you have a portfolio?
As far as what?
Like a, you know.
I guarantee
you're spreading your money around. And
yes, for sure.
You invest in different things.
A portfolio?
Yeah, it's like a Bay Street term.
Yes, he has a portfolio, I
guarantee
you.
What do you think? I'm a donkey?
Well, I don't have one. I'm not invested in anything.
You haven't made enough cake to have one, then.
Well,
what
that's
do you
right.
got, a checking account and a savings account?
Yeah, basically, a TFSA. That's what I have.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
I pump money into, like, you know, mutual funds and stuff like that, because you make your contributions basically for tax purposes.
RRSPs, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to
have. I have a bag of money in my sock drawer?
Oh, quite frankly, that's what I would do. I'm always shocked.
I can see him having one, though, but not all of your money. Just, like, a little bit of it. Like, your sock drawer, you forget it's there, and then you come across it, like, a year later going, oh, yeah, I forgot I put 10 grand in a sock in my
drawer. I used to have a sock drawer where there was a certain amount of money in there and for emergencies. Like, if something goes wrong, you got to give somebody some money to, hey, you didn't see anything here. Move along.
Emergency.
That's always
cash
a smart fund. Move.
You got to have it.
Yeah, you got to
have it. Sometimes you just, something happens where you're like, you got to just, you didn't see anything.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday off the air. Yeah. Noodles, you were mentioning a couple of former players who just blew through all their money because they got invested in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
I've always been flabbergasted. I've always been somewhat disturbed by the fact that these athletes feel like they have to spread their money around. If you make like $40 million in your career, why do you need 80? Why would you invest all that money where there's risk, where you could lose a lot of it, when you can just keep it and let the interest build up and live a great life?
If you have smart people around you that handle you or help you, that's what they do. That's their job.
But there's still no guarantees.
No, you're right. But for the most part, like a smart financial person told me this a long time ago. The earth only has a certain amount of land.
And you know what?
So you can't go wrong with buying land.
You can't.
It's going to grow.
And you know what? You get in trouble. Kevin Garnett today. Did you see that headline?
No.
Kevin Garnett sues accountant for allegedly enabling wealth manager to steal $77 million.
How do you not check your balances? How do you
I'm just saying, Jamie, there's so many things that the athlete themselves or their family members don't understand. And these people start doing math by themselves, and it's like, here's a little bit for you, there's a little bit for you.
I get that, but
that's my point.
$77 million.
Yeah. Like, I'm incredibly conservative when it comes to that. You give me enough money where I know I can live the rest of my life and make sure that my kids are going to be okay and everything. I don't need more than that.
You give me $44 million, Brian. I'm digging a hole in my backyard and I'm putting $10 million
right.
for emergency fund. Like if the you know what hits the fan, routine. I can go in the backyard and dig it up and say, okay, I'm okay now.
Yep. Pablo Escobar routine.
I just think there
money
there,
in holes.
You hear stories about that all the time. I'm talking former players that are dead ass broke that you knew that they were ridiculous with their spend. I played with one guy who bought 6 cars 1 year. The guy played 2 years in the National Hockey League.
Right. That guy's a buffoon.
He lives in a trailer in Alberta.
That guy's a buffoon. I'm not talking about spending your own money on, you know, materialistic items.
Right.
It's, which I guess it's one and the same. You're still lighting money on fire.
Right.
But what ends up happening, and maybe this is an ignorant take or unfair, but a lot of times these guys think that they're smarter than they really are. Everyone thinks they're so smart when it comes to what they're going to invest in.
Right.
And I'm like, you realize you didn't even get through high school or university. You played in the NFL or whatever. And now all of a sudden you're going to tell me that you've got it all figured out how you're going to invest your money and make all this kind of cash.
But there's, once in a
while, no way you have a clue what you're talking
about. It's like, Brian, you can speak to this. It's like gambling. You always hear when Mayweather wins, right? You don't. He doesn't post pictures of the
losing
the $1 million the $1 million ticket and stuff. Like Mayweather's an outlier because he's made so much money, but it would it
He'll
shock you
it.
But would it shock you 10 years from now where you're like Floyd Mayweather is dead ass broke and he's
you
he's
know who
blown
made
through $500 million
as much money if not
Tyson.
More exactly
and
Tyson blew through like $350 million.
Did you ever see, and this is years ago, but USA Today, I used to read that a lot, especially when I was living in the States, did a breakdown of the $300 million that Tyson had taken in and where it got dispersed. Now, Don King was a crook and stole a bunch of his money, but Tyson bought Don King 5 Rolls Royces. But he also had, and I get that wherever you come from in this world, you want to take care of your family and friends. You do. But he had a crew that traveled with him, and they had the salary listed of one guy. I would like to be this guy. He made $65,000 a year to be the beverage person for Mike Tyson. So wherever they went, he made sure that guys had drinks. You got water? You got a Coke? Got a Coke? What do you need?
65 cash, I'll bet.
Probably, who knows? But he got to travel with the Tyson entourage.
Right.
And it was
per diem.
Here's the beverage guy, here's this. But you can see how quickly that money was. Now he had houses that he didn't pay taxes on.
Like right.
He, but here's a guy who had a ton of success at a young age, and just like you said, Brian, he doesn't have a financial background. What you do is you trust people that do have a financial background to take care of you.
Well, and I understand that, and everyone does that in their own way. I don't even know how we got on this topic, but what I'm saying is, it really bothers me when you hear about these players who made all this money and they dumped it all into an investment. Like, you put it all in the line. You invest your money whichever way you choose to.
Right.
But let's say you make $40 million in your career. You want to invest $20 million? Go ahead. Keep the other $20 million. Well, don't invest $40 million.
That's the thing.
You know, but that happens all the time. Every cent the guy has, he's like, yeah, take it and we'll invest in this. And then he's broke. And it's like, what are you thinking?
He's made $40 million, but the biggest misnomer is that he's got $40 million. He's got $20 million.
Well, after taxes and everything.
But you're right. And then he goes.
Still, then use $10 million and keep $10 million.
I can tell you story after story of friends and colleagues of mine who got into bad investments. I've had two in my career. Two. Now, luckily, one was a very small one, $5 grand, and it was a ridiculous one in the minors, and I don't know why the hell I did it, but I was young and stupid. But luckily, that was a $5,000 lesson. I invested. What was the Olympics where the bomb went off? Was it in Atlanta?
Yeah, it was Atlanta.
What year was that?
96.
92, wasn't it?
No, 92 was
Seoul? It's around
Barcelona.
No, yeah, 96.
It was 96. It was Donovan Bailey.
Yeah, because I was playing in Worcester at the time in the minors. And there was this jackass who talked a bunch of us into investing in a hat that didn't have a brim.
A what?
Why would anybody ever want to wear that?
But they were kind of like trendy, and the guy was a quick talker, and he was like, I'm going to the Olympics. We have a booth. We're going to make a bunch of money, and blah, blah, blah.
Give me your cash.
Here's the cash.
Yeah.
The guy got arrested.
The monorail.
A hat without a brim?
I can't remember the name of that. It was such a joke. And I felt bad because one of the teammates brought it to the guys, and of course, us like dummies are like, oh, I'll put in $5,000. This is going to skyrocket.
Everyone's going to make so much money.
A brimless hat.
Everyone's got that one great idea that's going to
skyrocket.
In
Atlanta, when it's screaming hot, you don't want a brim on your hat.
That's when I should have had the ice towel balaclava.
That would have got you paid.
I will say this. The guy used the bomb as a, you know, hey, the bomb went off, so we didn't sell.
Oh, so that was his cop out.
Yeah.
It was kind of close around his whole setup, his tent.
It caught him embezzling money. And yeah. The guy was shady.
Well, anyway.
Tough lesson.
Very tough lesson. Tough lesson for NFL fans last night, too, because Vegas, man, strong out of the gate because the spread closed last night at Falcons -1. So obviously the Eagles won the game and covered the number, but Philly wins by 6, and the Falcons have that 2-minute drill, and they're in the red zone. They end up winning that game and kick the extra point. It's a push. Like, Vegas just always figures it out. They always are in midseason form, because those two teams last night were not. It was an ugly game.
There was some rust,
and the rain delay kind of dampened everything, and people were jacked up by 8 o'clock, and then you had to wait until after 9. And
I thought the best thing about the night was Boys to Men.
You like them?
I'm a big fan. I thought they were very good.
Yeah. I like Shawn Mendes doing the pregame stuff.
Well, that guy is.
That was strange, wasn't it? I mean, I know why they did it, because it was all girl. It was all, like, teenage girls. That's it. None of them were going to watch the game. They were there to see Shawn Mendes do his thing and take his jacket off, and then they were going home.
This guy, his Rolodex, like, you remember we were talking about popularity, like Austin Matthews and Mendes? I think Mendes...
Oh, worldwide. He's way bigger than Matthews.
Did you see him a couple weeks ago at the
VMAs? Your boy Gurdeep got the red carpet treatment
there. I did see that. He had the short pants going on.
Yeah, he did.
He looked good.
Yeah, he had it going on.
But, like, this guy is a stud.
Oh, yeah, man.
And
he's a GTA
talented
guy.
Yeah.
He's from Pickering, I think.
Really?
Yeah. He's from the Toronto area.
He's a hell of a talent, I'll tell you that.
Well, he's one of those guys. I've read up on him a little bit. I guess he had kind of a tough time growing up because he got bullied a little bit because he was into music and he was playing. But now...
Love songs
and now you know the Facebook requests are coming in from all the idiots that were trying to lay a beating on him or chirping him or whatever.
Yeah.
Now they all want to be his best friend.
For sure.
You know? But anyway, I mean, I'm just happy it's off and running. Shout out to the Philly fans for booing the Eagles off the field at halftime. I like that. I mean, that's who you are.
We don't care. You won the championship. We don't care.
Yeah. Be authentic, man. Like, a championship isn't going to change how warped you are as a fan.
Yeah.
Like, if the Leafs actually ever won a cup, the next day people would be like, well, you know, if they don't sign this guy, they can't win again next year.
You think so?
I think you are tailored to become the type of fan you are, and I don't think winning ever changes
that. I think it would be Philly fans times two as far as hockey goes.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, your power play doesn't score the next year, first power play, get off the ice.
Right.
Really?
Oh, I think they'd run a coach out of town the next year.
See,
I think so.
Not getting that... I don't get that sense from you guys. From being around Toronto fans, from being talking to people every day that are diehard Leaf fans, they're like, just give me one.
Well, of course.
I'll take one.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Noodles.
Well,
we don't know what it would be like because we've never experienced
it. Question.
But then,
if a cup is ever won, what is the length of the hall pass?
Well, it should be very lengthy.
It should be 5 years.
It should be more than the equivalent of a half, the home team still came back and won last night.
It's not, though.
So, and that now that I think about it and you're talking about it, it would be more than a half.
Listen, this isn't a booing city anyway. I mean, it got out of control a few years ago, but the team deserved that kind of reaction. With stuff being thrown on the ice and people wearing bags over their head. The organization embarrassed themselves, they embarrassed the fans, and the fans reacted. In reality, this is not a marketplace, and this is not a fan base that is overly emotional one way or the other. You know, they're very in tune with what's going on. They're very committed. They love the team. But it's the great unknown. Like, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, this is how I would react. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've never seen them in a cup final.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen them win a playoff round in 14 years. I don't know how I would respond to them winning a playoff round. Forget a Stanley Cup.
Well, the city's electric, and I just think it would come to a different level. We touched on it yesterday with the comments by Sagan and Patrick Kane. Like, you know, it's almost like Leaf fans are like, are they punking us or are they real? You know, like, and I believe they're real. because the team looks really good on paper. But until they go out and prove it, everyone's still like, was it a couple of years ago where the Leafs made the playoffs and everyone's like, I'm not cheering for them until they punch their ticket. I don't believe it because I've seen things go south.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you're right. It's only natural. You look at L.A., you know, they win a couple cups and Lombardi's on thin ice. You kept Dustin Brown. You know, you should have done this. Dustin Brown was a captain of a cup-winning team.
Well, and now he's had a bounce back, right?
Well, yeah, he played very well last year.
Yeah.
But you're looking at it, and fans want more. Chicago had three cups.
Well, exactly.
You're like, oh, my God,
they got
Brent Seabrook.
Once you get a taste of it, you know. But listen, that's a different conversation, though. You can still, just because you win doesn't mean you can't react to the news and react, you know. Like, the Seabrook contract was rich. Give him 8 years at eight something, and his wheels look like they've fallen off. You know, like, Quinville's not going to be there for the next 20 years because he won three cups. I mean, that's just not
eventually
ever reality. That's not. Look at Daryl Sutter. He won two cups. He's out.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
Lombardi's out. Not in LA anymore. But I thought it was probably more humor than anything else. I would guess that someone started booing kind of sarcastically last night, and then the rest of the fans are like, yeah, let's boo him off as kind of a joke. Once a Philly fan, always a Philly fan. But the game was not great, but it was close late, and Matt Ryan has taken a ton of heat today, and I don't think really there's any way of dancing around it. In the red zone last night, he was awful.
And apparently that's all they wanted to work on was their red zone play.
If that's true...
By the way, what about that catch? How do you not call that a catch?
Yeah,
What do you want the guy to do? Like, he's got the ball in his hands, it's against his helmet. So it's like goal challenges. Don't you want more offense? Don't you want that to be a catch?
I didn't understand the rule.
Tie goes to the catch, and it looked like a tie. You could maybe argue one way or the other. Why would you not?
The guy landed on the ground. The ball was in his hands against his helmet. Like, just call it a catch.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch, 52-yard. That changed everything because I think he took a sack the next play, and then next thing you know, it's going the opposite way.
Feathers. Yeah.
But...
Tell you what, Carson Wentz's knee got a lot better, I think, last night.
People are trying to figure out what's going to go on there. You know, Schefter's saying at least another couple of weeks. I saw Ian Rappaport was saying it could be weeks. I
don't think so. I think they'll say... Because apparently the coach said he's ready. Like, he's actually ready.
Yeah. Well, I think what became clear last night... And
or they're doing the Babcock where it's like, we'll just wait for a loss and then maybe he's ready.
I think Doug Peterson knows that Nick Foles is a backup quarterback, and the magic, you know, pixie dust is starting to wear off.
He's going to hit a wall at some point.
Listen, he got the job done last night, but he's not a good quarterback. I don't think he is. He's an average quarterback. He's a backup guy. I think what rattles Peterson as the head coach is he knows what's coming with Nick Foles, and he wants to avoid it. He doesn't want him to, you know, fall flat on his face. They got lucky last night. The Eagles got lucky because the Falcons were 1-for-9 in the red zone last night.
Right.
1-for-9 in the red zone. Like, that should have been Falcons by 20 last night.
Yeah.
If they got out early and they put points up early, they were in the red zone twice in the first 5 minutes. They put up 3 points. You put up 14 there, it's over quick. And Foles would not have been able to get you back in that game. But anyway... It was a win for the Eagles and for the champs, and now they got a light schedule for the next couple of weeks. They could be 2-1, 3-0. Then you put in Carson Wentz, and you're flying.
Did you cave it up last night, Zaw? Anything?
Yeah, I kind of took it easy. I was solo on the couch watching the game. It wasn't much of a game. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I remember looking up, and I'm like, it's 8:47, and they're just starting. I'm like, this is...
Yeah, it had an NBA Finals type of vibe to it, late start.
I almost tweeted out, let's go. But I, like...
You can't control the weather.
No, but I mean, you need to move it along, the process. Like, I would have cut out some of the...
They could have cut out the coin toss and all that. Like, do it in the back.
Who were all these people that in jerseys on the coin toss? Like, in plain clothes with jerseys on, with their names on the back. Like, they were probably injured players, but why the hell are they out?
I didn't even see that. I don't know, but...
There was a couple floaters out there. throwing hugs out and shaking hands. And
opening night with the champs, you know that's coming.
Just Floaterville.
Brian Baldinger will join us in the 6 p.m. hour. Mark Shapiro speaking with the media today. Spoke with the print guys around 2 o'clock. He's speaking with TV and radio around 5. So we're going to have some audio. We'll talk about it.
Lots of audio. We might go live to it.
I don't think we can do that, but I think our boy Strutty's coming up, right, at 4:30? Yeah. We got Strutty, so we'll touch on some NHL news and notes. What's the vibe like out in Western Canada as we're less than a month away from opening night in the NHL?
He's got to respond to
What Aguinla had to say, to what we had to say.
About his hair and,
yeah, so he'll respond. We'll get to our buddy Jason Strudwick. He's coming up next.
See that man Drake just dissed people again last night at some TIFF festival?
We didn't go. We were talking about that yesterday, weren't we? Drake had bailed out of going. He was supposed to be opening a movie.
Yeah, like, TIFF 18. People paid $100. He didn't show up, and they're like, sorry, no refund. What the hell's that?
Too big for his britches, man.
I don't think so.
Turning his back on Toronto.
No, I don't think he would take the money. He was going
to
be...
Well, they were probably paying him to do a show up or whatever it was. Yeah. Or he was affiliated with the movie. I don't know what the movie was, but maybe he had a role in it. He's on tour, so maybe he was just like, I'm not coming back. You know, I have no idea. Who knows? I mean, who cares? Someone texting in saying that they just saw Jonas Siegel jogging down Queen West. Looks like he's given up trivia and he's focusing hard on the eye test. He's becoming quite the athlete. We haven't seen Jonas in a while.
Why don't we get those two pigeons in here for a trivia?
Jonas and Masters.
Yeah. Well, Mark isn't doing the whole U.S. Open thing. They got our boy Mark Rowe down there.
Yeah, where is Masters?
He's usually Mr. Grand Slam.
Mr. Tennis, yeah.
You know?
Well, he's lost his job because Mark Rowe's doing really good.
Yeah, Mark's great. So is Mark Masters,
Yeah,
too.
Masters is the man.
Rowe's better, so he's lost his job.
You're calling your shot, huh?
Mark Rowe is doing a really good job.
How's El Chapo been?
He's been okay. I mean, he hasn't had as successful of a season as people were hoping for. Yeah. You know, like coming off last year when he beat Nadal at the Rogers Cup, right. And the hopes were that he would really keep skyrocketing up the rankings and go deep in major tournaments, and hasn't really played out that well for him. But
yeah,
he's a kid, man. He's 19 or 20 years old.
He beat a kid the other day. I saw that online where he beat somebody that was like his friend.
Mm-hmm.
A young kid.
Yeah, the Felix, the other Canadian kid. Well, he had to pull out because he had like an irregular heartbeat or something like that. That was at the U.S. Open. Yeah, it was Canadian versus Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been okay. I don't think he's dominating, and I don't think he's expected to dominate. But
he's recovered from blasting the judge in the eye.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That's a couple years ago now. I hope he's over that. If he's not, we've really got trouble.
Well, you recover, but you don't move past that. That'll be...
Well, it's always going to hang over the Wikipedia page.
For sure.
You're the guy who, in a moment of rage, almost took some guy's eye out with a tennis ball.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
oh, my goodness.
There's no dancing around that. No, you have to own that.
No.
But it's funny how Jeannie Bouchard never comes up anymore. Like, we didn't even talk about her at all in the summer. I don't remember ever mentioning her name on the show. Like, she's, she's trying to qualify for tournaments, and she gets in, and she was at the U.S. Open. But
she's turned into
Anna Kournikova.
Yeah.
But it's worse. Like, I don't think Kournikova fell off to this point. Like, she can't win. She can't play. She's, like, 180th in the rankings or something. It's kind of difficult to believe that she's had this big of a fall, you know, where she was the darling of Canadian sports and going to Grand Slam finals. And
we should have rope
advertising and stuff, but... The tennis stuff is, it's not even...
Yeah, it says right now, singles ranking 137.
137.
She's 24. Career prize money, she's close to $6 million.
Yeah, she's made money, man. And she made, like, she struck some great deals when the iron was hot.
Yeah.
With Nike and with all these big companies. And they've all pretty much dropped her by now because they're like, you're 140th in the world. You don't play. You don't win. Like, at some point, you got to follow through on actually doing what we
invested in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, how we came to know you, it wasn't because you were a pretty girl that had Instagram. It's because you were winning tournaments or fighting for titles and stuff. Someone texted in saying, Drake was one of the producers on that movie. So,
well, obviously something must have come up that he didn't show. Like, you don't just go, no, I'm good.
Yeah. It's in your hometown, like, you know.
You know, I'm a guy who's hard on him sometimes, but I will make an excuse for him in this situation. Because I don't think he's the type of guy who thinks he's too big for his britches on a movie that he's invested in.
You would think he would have more common sense than that. Yeah, like, this is your personal project. And anyway. All right, Mark Shapiro speaking with the TV and radio media in about a half an hour. We'll touch on that later in the afternoon. And Jason Strudwick coming up to respond to what Ginla and Noodles and others had to say about him earlier in the week. And we're less than a month away from the hockey season. Get his take on a bunch of different NHL stories. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Just seeing on Twitter that John Tavares, who's been down in Chicago at the NHL media blitz or whatever, was asked about being recognized on the streets here in Toronto now that he's a Maple Leaf. Don't you think he would have been recognized throughout his career?
Yeah, but like, not as...
not necessarily as much. And maybe people would leave him alone more as an Islander. But 4 or 5 years ago, if he walked down Yonge Street, people would be like, there's John Tavares.
For sure.
Well, the bigger question is, he also said today he hopes he gets a warm reception in Long Island going back there.
Not happening.
A, lose there. I think two guys came back. Lou did not have a video tribute for Phil. He did have one for Dion. Wasn't there one for Dion?
I don't remember that.
They had an acknowledgement.
Maybe because he was the captain.
Yeah, I think they had an acknowledgement at a break.
But there's no chance of a video tribute.
We would acknowledge Strutty. Like, I mean, this guy was on a bunch of teams. I guarantee you there was no video.
That's a great question.
To Jason Strudwick.
All right. Just a skullet video tribute.
Longtime NHLer and host out on TSN Radio in Edmonton, Jason Strudwick, making his triumphant return. Strutty, when you were dancing around the NHL and you returned to a market that you used to play, did they ever acknowledge you with a video montage?
Not as often as you think. You know, unfortunately, the teams, I guess they want to sell tickets. You know, like, welcome back, Strudwick Knight. Maybe a bobblehead or even a towel would have been nice. Or, maybe even anything, just a Kit Kat with my name on it would have been nice. But teams didn't want to make money, I guess. So that was the time when they just wanted to win.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
And that is very short-sighted. They would have made a lot of money off a Strutty bobblehead.
Yeah, Strudwick Knight and Rangerville. Like,
Strutty, if you had a bobblehead, what do you think the hairstyle on the bobblehead would look like?
20 seconds in, you already give it to me, eh? You know what? My hair, actually, I've got a new haircut. His name's Mo, and he is an artist. He's an artist, a Lebanese artist that really knows how to get my hair done properly. And I'd like to, next time in town, I'll come by and you can take a look, O-Dog. It looks more, a little more bulky, right? A little thicker, which is what we all want.
That's what you need, man. Everyone needs a mo to hook them up.
Well, I was talking to a former NHL player. I had to do a golf tournament with him, and his hair is disappearing. And he said he visited a place in San Diego, and for $7,000 or $8,000, they take hair off the bottom of your head, and they sew it into the top. And it's like, you got to wear some kind of helmet for like a week.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Well, you come in with a helmet on. Well, what happened? I just had some hair from my ass stapled to my forehead.
No, it's the back of your head. For $7,000 or $8,000, I would pay that. Strutty, would you?
Well, actually, Mo, who's also he knows a guy in Turkey that'll do it. And the second time he cut my hair, he said, because he's starting to have a recession too. He's like, well, you go to Turkey with me, and it's just like a spa. You land in the Turkish airport, they pick you up, they take you right to the spa, they do the treatment. Like you said, they farm it off the back of your bottom of your hairline, put it on top. It looks like you have a sunburn. He goes, we're home 3 days later, and we both have much fuller haircuts. So I said, well, let's look into pricing. I mean, I'm not going to say no just because, I don't want to admit that my hair is receding, but if I can get something to improve it, I'll just take a look. You said it's very cheap and very efficient. The Turks really know how to do that and to make a good chocolate bar.
What's the price, though?
Well, he hasn't got back to me. So this happened about 2 months ago. My wife is actually pushing for it, which is weird. I'm 43 years old. I'm still a pretty attractive man. When I walk through a Sears or one of those fancy places like Home Depot, I still get a little respect from people in my age group. So, I don't know why she wants me to get it. She's so short, she can't even see the top of my head.
So we were talking to Jerome last week, and we were talking about your guys' trip. And we were talking about like role definition, just like a hockey team, everybody's got a role. So when you guys go on your trip, like Noodles God knows what he does. Apparently, he plans stuff. He's a good planner. Apparently, Jerome just pays for everything. And what is your role?
Well, yeah, Noodles definitely plans everything. Iggy, he does come with a fairly thick wad of money to pay for some things, but he's very conservative. Everything. Yeah. Oh no, I don't want to do that. There might be some disease somewhere. Like you see, he's just over the top. For me, I'm just go with the flow and, quite frankly, the personality. You know, someone's got to stir the drinks at, you know, in the morning barbecues or the breakfasts, all that kind of stuff. So I get in there because everyone's got it. Like, we have a couple chubby friends that never take their shirts off anymore. You know, their belly button looks a little bit like a bowl of oatmeal. And then, you know, we got some other guys that are, they're kind of shy and they're not happy with the way it's going their body either. So we all kind of our own thing. But, you know, Iggy definitely is in charge of Mr. Conservative.
I can't wait until Strutty throws out the idea of taking the boys' trip to Istanbul this year. We can get some new hair and then shake it up with the guys.
There would be a few guys that probably sign up for it in the group.
Yeah, why not? They can throw a party in Istanbul.
Well, for $3,000-$4,000, I mean, it'd probably be worth it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I guess you just want to make sure it works. Like, I want to see someone else. Like, I want Mo to go first and Mo to come back. Then I'll look at Mo and say, okay, that does work. I don't want to be the first guy.
No.
It's like a tattoo person, like their first tattoo. I don't want to be like, Hazer starts doing tattoos. I don't want to be the first guy to get a tattoo from you. But if the first one looks good, yeah, I'll take a stab at it.
Yeah, you need someone like a dummy to go out and do it first.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then you get a read on it. With Jason Strudwick, longtime NHLer and host out on TSN Radio in Edmonton. So, obviously, you're aware that there's a lot of buzz here in Toronto, and there was some turnover, and Tavares rolls into town, and Edmonton, yeah. Though, man, nothing. Like, they didn't do anything. What is going on out there? Are people excited for the season? Are they optimistic, or what?
Well, you can't swing a cat by the tail without hitting a Toronto Leafs fan out here to tell me how great they are.
Really?
You know, so we identify that there are, and I see your tweets planning the Stanley Cup parade route for them. But on the other side, you got the Oilers, you know, and I actually am in favor of what they did. I firmly believe that you have to have some belief in the guys that you have, just because, you know, just about everyone had an off year. I mean, Connor, let's put him on his own planet. But, you know, after that, you know, Nurse had a strong year for the most part. Nugent Hopkins is probably the next most successful guy. Yeah, but a lot of their main guys had tough years. And whenever they kind of got on track, something else would go off, you know. And I talked to a couple of guys last week, and that's what they said. They're like, every time we turned around, something else was falling apart that we had just fixed up. But I really believe the Oilers, yeah, they could have gone out and made a trade to address a defenseman or whatever, but you need to have that depth coming up from underneath. And all these rookie camps getting going. And when you look at some of the guys coming up, I believe there are going to be some NHL players there. And that hasn't been the case for the last number of years. You know, I go back to my first training camp. I remember looking, okay, we have a pretty decent NHL team. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, who's our first call-ups? And I'm looking around, I'm like, man, we better not have any injury. And we ran into some injury difficulty, and that made it pretty tough for the team. So you got to have those, like a Tyler Benson, a Yamamoto, you know, Bouchard, who was just drafted, but, you know, is it Cooper Merrity? All these guys now are going down, and they're going to have some guys with ability to not just contribute in the NHL, but maybe come up and become an NHL player that they've drafted and or traded for or signed as a college free agent. And that is where I think you really get that juice, because having to go and sign a third or fourth line wingers, to me, it's like, why do you need to do that? Why can't you find that internally that have those guys work their way up the lineup as time goes by? The Oilers have the top centers. That's not the issue. They need some help on the wings. But, I think that if the calmness is good now, are they a playoff team? You know, I think if they get close and or just get into the playoffs, that's a successful year. But a year from now, we're talking about guys that are playing the NHL this year that could be on an NHL roster. And that is when you really start to see some lasting success for an organization.
That's pretty crazy, man. Like, this time last year, they were cup favorites. And they were coming off, you know, game 7 in the second round in Anaheim. And now it's a reason take, and I'm with you, Strutty. Like, if they can push for a playoff spot, that would be great. But next year is the year where you start to pounce. That's got to be difficult for Oilers fans to embrace, man. Like, it's a reality, but it's got to be tough.
Well, I mean, I preach patience, and people don't want to hear, like, well, you know, we want to win now. I'm like, okay, the team could go out and make a trade to address an area of need, but you're going to trade someone that is going to be a good player for a long time to maybe just get you into the playoffs. And even if you go back to a trade for Zitnik, remember when was it Atlanta traded for Zitnik, and they got him in the playoffs, and they got swept out by the Rangers in the first round. And they traded, what was that good defenseman? He plays in Tampa Bay now. He used to be with Philly. But he's been a long-time NHLer. Colburn, that's the guy. So yeah. Now you make that move. You know, okay, so great. You got four, you got swept in four, but you got nothing to show for it. You got to show patience and build for the long term. And I see what the Leafs have done there, and I like what they've done. And they're trying to push up, get guys to come up from underneath and push for those NHL jobs. And you got to have it. You got to have drafting development. And, you know, for Oilers fans, you're right. It's been tough over the last number of years. I get that. But, you know, I think one more year of not maybe pain, but a year you're maybe not completely happy with the results, to all of a sudden get to the point where now you are pushing. I think that's the difference for this organization. Bob Nixon kind of hinted at that at his post-year comments about keeping everyone in place. That, you know, you look at what's going on behind the scenes, he's happy with it. So, you know, I got to take him at his word. I see the young players going to the pre-camp for the rookies, and I think you're starting to see that, though. There's something that hasn't been there in past seasons.
Strutty, we always appreciate you doing this. Just before we let you go, is there any, like, go-to outfits, like in Costco, that is catching people's eye? I know that you like you like a tight jean with your balls, like, bulging. Like, is there anything working? What's working right now in the hallways of, like, a Costco?
Yeah, well, Costco, I go there all the time. One of my favorite. Now, I actually got this free jacket at a golf tournament, and it really makes your pecs and shoulders look jacked. So I wear especially tight jeans with a tight, sneaker, and put this on, and I'm not kidding. I look like Iron Man, and your heads are like just whipping around. People are crashing into display sales, vitamins splashing all over the place. I'll get you one of these coats. It's unbelievable. It's Fernando Pisani's golf tournament. I can't believe he coughed up for these jackets, but it's well worth it.
Good man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Post that stuff online. We need to see it. Enjoy it out there, Strutty. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, buddy.
We'll talk to you guys later.
There's Jason Strudwick.
From the neck down, posted online.
Yeah. Neck down only.
A buddy of mine just sent a picture of Strutty and Mo and said, apparently, Mo is a legend in Edmonton.
Come on.
Could you imagine taking a trip to Turkey with your barber? How awkward that would be.
I'm telling you, the former player that I talked to said you go to San Diego, but they wrap your head up like a, you know, the movies where the guy's head's all wrapped up after surgery,
like
or something.
Like a mummy.
Yeah. But is it like you just lock yourself in your house for a week?
Yeah, you'd have to. It's like when people have like eye surgery, retina surgery, they just sit in their house for a long time.
Well, yeah, but that's legit.
Because you have
that's
to,
not
or you're
a vanity thing.
Well, I understand.
I need my vision to drive and to function in life, not to, you know, not to be halfway in between balding and not.
I guess what I'm saying is it has happened before where people get some sort of an operation and they disappear for a week and then they come out the other end feeling pretty good.
But the thing is, you can't wait too long because if you're that balding, you can't return and then just be...
You're Costanza. You walk in. Remember when Costanza got the free wigs?
Yeah. I thought it looked good, actually, on Costanza.
Until Elaine ripped it off his head.
Well, wigs are always... I mean, you can spot those. It's never been perfected.
I would love to see... Now... Wasn't Andre Agassi's hair a wig?
Apparently, yes.
He
that
admitted
came out
later, like way later on, that he wore a wig.
That was probably the greatest wig ever because nobody knew it.
Yeah, true.
But I think it was just a wig on top because he had the long locks and the bandana.
So it was the Kim Mitchell. He had the Kim Mitchell.
It was probably hair attached to the bandana.
Well, women do that all the time. Women wear extensions.
That's fair. But I'm saying, what is the greatest wig you've ever seen? Like...
Well, honestly, Noodles, the best one I've ever seen is one I didn't know.
That's what I'm saying.
The best one you've ever seen is one where you didn't realize that it was a wig. I feel for the guys who just have weird hair and people are like, look at this guy.
Look at that.
But it's actually
ashtray attached to his head. And it's
but
not.
It's the real deal. Holyfield. Mark Shapiro doing the rounds, talking to the media today. We'll get into that at around 5 p.m. And Brian Baldinger, longtime NFLer and analyst with the NFL Network, lives down in Philly. He'll... break down what went down last night and start teeing up the rest of the games in week one of the NFL. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Mark Shapiro speaking with the media in Toronto here today. He spoke with the print guys around 2, and he's meeting with the TV and radio guys around 5. So we'll touch on that in the 5 p.m. hour. Big weekend for the basketball world, although the timing of the Hall of Fame inductions, so different, so strange compared to the other sports. Steve Nash going in, Grant Hill, Ray Allen, Jason Kidd. But the NFL Hall of Fame kind of kicks off the NFL season. right? They have the Hall of Fame game. It's the first preseason game. Everyone's in camp.
Like, why not kick it around near the NBA start of the season?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the NHL does it about a month and a half into their season. Baseball does it during the summer. Basketball, just randomly out of nowhere, they're sending legends into the Hall of Fame. And no one's talking about basketball.
That's one of the trophies I regret that I cannot find. Because the Hall of Fame game, the MVP of the game, we played Tampa Bay and I won the MVP and I got a Hall of Fame trophy for the MVP of the game and I have no idea where it is.
That was when you were with Toronto?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. There's an MVP of the game, a Hall of Fame player of the game, and there's literally like a great Hall of Fame trophy. It's a big trophy and it's really nice.
And wow. I'd never heard of that before.
Check your trunk.
Not in my trunk.
We'll find it.
It could be in the trunk of your car.
Do they still do that? I guess so. Right?
Yeah, they do. I think they do, yeah. But it was one of those trophies. I'm like, this is pretty cool to have.
That is pretty cool.
But are people, like, trying in that game?
Well, it's a regular season game.
Oh,
it's the Hockey Hall of Fame game.
Yeah,
it's the Friday night Leafs against
whoever. I thought it was an alumni game.
No.
Like, you know, and you're out there burying it past
the 85-year-old
bully.
This is a regular season hockey game.
That's why I'm a little bit surprised that I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, there's a player of the game for the Hall of Fame game.
That's awesome.
It's nice, it's a beautiful trophy, like at the front where everybody's hanging over the boards. And I do not know where mine is.
That is pretty cool.
I actually might contact the Hall of Fame to see if I can get it.
Get a replicate.
You know what's weird? Like, my Eastern Conference trophy for going to Stanley Cup Finals, I contacted the NHL. I'm like, mine's wrecked. My kids wrecked mine. Can I get another one?
Yeah, you could be able to get a replica. It's just replicas. So you should be able to get them.
Yeah, guess what? They wanted like $1,400 for a new one.
Well, that's like, a little rich.
Can you just give me a new one? How do you?
Well, I don't think they would give you a new one, but I think 1,400 is a big number for.
Not that, like, I'll show you. I'll bring the trophy in.
I know
the
I've got.
Pops miss you.
I won a President's Trophy, so I've got a replica in my office, and yeah. I've got a replica Masterton one, and they both. I'm going to have to get some of that tarnish out or whatever. They both have turned black.
Oh really?
Yeah, I've got to go to Walmart and get that where it takes that.
Put the shine back on it,
shine
basically.
Back on, yeah.
I was at Brett Hedekin's house in the summer, and he's got the Stanley Cup, Eastern Conference Trophy, two of them. Then there was like a really big one.
Bowling.
No. I go, what's this one? He's like, that's my wife's, Dancing with the Stars.
that's awesome. That's right.
That's right.
Who's he married to again?
Christy Yamaguchi.
Yeah.
It was bigger than all of them.
She probably made some pretty good coin on that show, too.
For sure.
They would definitely pay everyone to be on that.
But she was an Olympian,
big
star. She would have a huge
advantage.
But I'm saying huge endorsements.
Oh, and the amount of hardware that she's reeled in throughout her career. All right, what won't Shapiro talk about? We'll try to get a read on it. We'll get into it in the next hour.
We're going to go live.
Well, we'll see. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.